Nothing Governor Romney just said is true. Starting with this notion of me apologizing. This has been probably the biggest whopper that's been told during the course of this campaign.
Joke slams, sighs, frowns, all parts of the finale. The final debate in Boca Raton, Florida. Hey, everybody, that's where we start. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. How you doing in all those nooks and crannies? Be honest, were you watching the blowout Game 7 between the Giants and the Cardinals? Were you engrossed in Monday Night Football, Chicago and Detroit? Or did you watch acrimony of a different kind between a man who wants to be president and another one who wants four more years? It kind of was a little bit like a old-fashioned WWE wrestling match. A lot of hits that didn't necessarily always land, a few fake punches, and 90 minutes plus later, we're done. Now it's a race to the finish. I do not believe the Democrats thought that it was going to be a neck-to-neck thing. It wasn't going to be down to the wire, but it is. Ultimately, will it be a photo finish on November 6th, or will Romney win by a nose? Or do you see Obama winning by a nose? Or maybe, you know how much I like horse racing, or maybe in that final turn, the final stretch, Obama sprints to the finish, or perhaps Romney does. I like sports analogies for politics these days, because really that's what it's like. So go with me to the track of politics, and tell me how you think now this thing finishes up. And what did you think of the debate? Did you even watch? Are you debated out? Do you know who you want to vote for? That's been kind of the ongoing theme starting this week off. I can't believe there are that many undecideds, but apparently they all live in Virginia, because that's where the biggest battle is waging. It's always Virginia, isn't it? If you go back to times in our history, Virginia, Virginia, Virginia. And now we're talking about 106 counties in Virginia. Certainly it's not the only swing state. But it seems as though, because of where Virginia went last time around for Obama, that this is a state, if the counties were to go the way of Romney, could possibly call the election. But let's see what happens in Florida. Let's see what happens in Ohio as well. I'm going to give you the digits if you want to ring in and throw in your 2 cents. Oh, please do. 855-266-KATE. 855-266, the numbers 5283, or shoot me an email, americatonight.net, click on contact, and bada bing, you are in, just like that. Well, they were into this thing within minutes, seconds even. Boom, they get this now. Bob Schieffer was the moderator, and what was interesting is a lot of what I forecasted just in our previous show and the show before that is exactly what happened. Romney did the smart thing by trying to turn all of the debate over foreign policy back to the economy. He did that a ton. I counted 6 times that he was able to do that. So he would be talking about one thing, he would pull it back, whether it was China or something else, he was able to pull it back into what's happening in our economy and jobs. Because that's the main thing he knows that people care about. Let's be honest. It's not so much about the Libyan situation and what happened in that consulate, Afghanistan, Iraq, what's going to happen in Iran, all important. But he knows that if you want to hit them, meaning the voters, where they feel it, it's in the pocketbook. It's in the wallet. So that's why he kept trying to bring it around to the economy. And I was shocked, because I like Bob Schieffer, but there was none of this interruption where he couldn't hear so much over top of the other person, but clearly Schieffer just let him go off on the tangent. Hey, okay, we're talking about foreign policy, but you know what, we're gonna let this go down the road that he's taking it. If he's spinning into the economy, I'm just going to let him finish out, and then we'll come back around again. Because that foreign policy debate definitely turned to the U.S. economy. Like I said, 6-7 times is what I counted. And I was looking for this, so I wasn't shocked by it. If I were an advisor to Romney, that's exactly what I would have done. So he did it several times. At one point, there was one point where Schieffer did, he seemed like he was at the end. He said, let me get back to foreign policy. Obama answered one foreign policy question by talking about his education initiatives and then slammed Romney as his tenure as Massachusetts governor and said all the things that happened basically good with the in the Massachusetts school system happened before Romney got there. So there were a couple of detours, needless to say, on this so-called, it's only going to be foreign policy. That's all we're going to talk about here. I would cast this one, if I'm just being completely objective, I would cast this as a draw. I really would. I would say that Romney would pass the test, as I saw the headline in one of the blogs I was reading, Commander-in-Chief test. Sure, absolutely. Because, you know, he agreed with some of the policies that were already in place, disagreed with a lot of others, and went back and forth with Obama on a couple of things, Iran, Israel, military questions, all that stuff. So there were differing opinions, and Romney was able to say what he would have done. But I think he passed that test. If there was, because there were stories floating around that, oh, weak. He's weak on foreign policy, very weak. Well, I don't think Romney appeared to be weak on foreign policy, but Obama didn't look weak either. It's just a draw. And the crazy thing is usually in debates, there's not much agreement. But there were a couple of times, as much as there was this attack mentality, there was definitely a few times where there was agreement. And usually you don't walk down that lane, even if you do agree. You don't agree. You just don't do that in debates. In any traditional debate format, you're in some way, whether you do it by sleight of hand and you do it in a nicer, I'll call it nicer, is not even a word, fashion, you still are, you're still going for blood. You're still on the attack to slam your opponent. But agree. In fact, there was a breakdown, you know, of this, of why do they, you know, why are the foreign policy discussion, why are we even talking about this when half the time this is an agreed area? So how are, in trying to break this down, why, whether it's Osama bin Laden or whether it's Pakistan or something like that, there's relatively, they're agreeing on a lot of things. I mean, the United States, the withdrawal from Afghanistan, the timeline, all that kind of stuff. However, like I said, Romney, in his approach, in what he was able to do, I think by swinging it around, he made a difference there because he was trying to give himself the edge with the economy. But overall, both landed punches, both had one-liners. They're trying to be stand-up comedians. They did okay in that department. A few laughs here and there. What'd you think, America? 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. Jeff Holtzman next to break it down. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
I've bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance, as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
She wrote, third presidential debate, Lynn University at Boca Raton, Florida. Jeff Holtzman joins us once again. He was there for this one. Each one has a different flavor. This certainly did. Foreign policy was the overall theme. However, if you listen to Mitt Romney, he kept bringing it back to the economy. He was trying to relate it in different ways, I think, to my theme of what's in your wallet. And there were some interesting moments during this debate, to be sure, some real zingers as well. Hey, Jeff, overall, what did you think? Because you have been at all three debates. What did you think of this one compared to the first two?
Well, I mean, Kate, I think right off, first glance, I have to score this one as a draw. It's really, really early in the game, and I think that it's going to take some time for the debate to actually settle in and obviously to see what the surrogates have to say and to see how the polls come out before we, sort of get a, more of a solid opinion on in terms of who won and who lost. But, I think that both candidates had some good moments. President Obama, like last week's debate in New York, he was aggressive tonight. He had some good one-liners that he flung toward Mitt Romney's way. He basically accused him of flip-flopping on all his foreign policy. And that was sort of a theme that the Obama campaign said that it was going to touch upon after the Denver debate. They said that they were going to refocus their strategy in these debates, that the president was going to circle all of his talking points around the underlying theme that Mitt Romney basically can't keep a position. And that's what he did tonight. He accused Mitt Romney of flip-flopping on Iraq. He accused him of, flip-flopping on Syria, Iran, Afghanistan, you name it. Basically, all the critical Middle East issues that the U.S. is dealing with right now, the president said Mitt Romney has flip-flopped on. Mitt Romney, in response, told the president that attacking me is not an agenda. That was probably one of his biggest lines tonight, one of his most memorable lines. A lot of folks looked at that and said, well, that's sort of a desperation key from a candidate who doesn't think that things are going too well. But then others looked at President Obama's posture, his aggressiveness, his body language, and his desire to seemingly go for the one-line slam, right from the get-go, as evidence perhaps that Obama considers himself to be, facing a deficit in this race. So there are a lot of interesting things happen tonight, but I think it's too early to tell, just how much of a bearing this will have on the election.
Yeah, I think the lines that you brought up, you're right. Romney slamming Obama, attacking me is not an agenda. Romney saying the U.S. can't kill its way out of extremist threats. Then Obama coming back and saying, hey, you're all over the place on foreign policy. There was a great line about it that Obama had. It made me think back to my childhood days playing Battleship with my brother when he said, it's not a game of Battleship. Talking about the size of the Navy.
Yeah, that was really interesting. They were talking about cutting the defense budget, and of course, Mitt Romney was talking about the fact that you've got all these new ships that the Navy needs and what have you, and the president delivered that line where he said this isn't the 1910s, the 1920s. We don't have horses and bayonets out there, and so that's in essence he's saying the defense budget is it's going to grow somewhat under his command. So that's obviously a big line that a lot of folks pointed out, and that hasn't been tweeted a million times.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I mentioned this too when we first went to you, is the fact that when Mitt Romney could do it, he quickly linked things to the economy, whatever he could, pushing it loosely to foreign policy, throwing out Medicaid and a bunch of other stuff, and Bob Schieffer just didn't really do much. I mean, the subject was foreign policy, but it kept sliding back into domestic issues, which frankly, if I were an advisor to Romney, that was a smart play, because that's the idea, knowing that people are upset about the economy, trying to push that as far as he could push it, and he seemed to really get it in there, didn't you think?
Right. No, absolutely. I think it was a really smart pivot for Mitt Romney to touch on the economy as much as he could, to tie everything into the economy. He started out basically tying, America's standing in the world to the need for a strong military, which, of course, is in need of funding. At a time when the military, the Pentagon specifically, could be facing a trillion-dollar budget cut over the next 10 years, it's topical for Mitt Romney to go ahead and accuse President Obama of trying to gut the military by allowing the defense sequester to happen. At the same time, he brought it back to education. He brought it back to, government reform, the debt, obviously, which has sort of been a big theme for the Republicans this campaign cycle, making an issue out of that. I think there was one point sort of in the middle of the debate where we probably spent 10 or 15 minutes solely on domestic issues. And, a lot of journalists here in the Filing Center here at Lynn University were looking at each other going, I thought this was a foreign policy debate. Are we watching, are we on the wrong channel? Is the foreign policy debate on the other channel? But I think to the viewers at home, a lot of these folks who casually pay attention to stuff aren't aware that it was supposed to be on foreign policy. They hear what they hear. So for Mitt Romney, his campaign understands that. They know that each time he goes on national television, it's an opportunity for him to make that case. And his strong point that he's selling is ability, or perceived ability to fix the economy. So he's got to make it about that. And, I think President Obama did a decent job responding to that. That's why I think this is a draw, because I thought President Obama had good lines on foreign policy. He had the right strategy tonight. But Mitt Romney was able to get in enough time on the camera talking about, the economy, which has been certainly a drag, for President Obama the last 4 years.
Yeah, I agree. What was the mood like there? I mean, piling into it, you're in the media center, you're seeing, you're listening to what people are saying, and I call it a draw as well. Plus, it's things are tied up. This has to be one of the closest elections, at least theoretically, and looking at the polls anyway, that I can remember maybe in my lifetime. So, is that kind of the buzz in the media center, and was that what you were hearing in Florida?
Yeah, first of all, there's a lot of buzz down here. It's actually, this is interesting because at the beginning of the debate season, at the beginning of the month, we didn't know if this would be a relevant debate. A lot of folks speculated that the race could be sort of put away by this point. But thanks to Romney's strong performance in the first debate, their similar performances in round two, where Obama might have had a slight edge, that put a lot of stakes into this debate. A lot of people were paying close attention to this, even though it was foreign policy, which is not, you know, the number one issue for voters this year. We all know that. But nonetheless, it was a closely watched debate because, you know, when you talk about foreign policy, you're talking about how these candidates would act and how they have acted as commander-in-chief, which is important. You know, you're basically the leader of the military. You're making a lot of executive decisions. And in this case, you know, you've had a lot of stuff going on around the globe and other parts of the world that have been in the news lately. Of course, what's happening in Libya, the ongoing civil war in Syria. And, you know, I think that while the war in Afghanistan is extremely unpopular at this point, people are still sort of tuned in to see what's going to happen with it. Now, I will say this, Kate, a lot of what we saw tonight was interesting because, you know, the candidates really, when you get down to it, don't differ too much on the hot-button foreign policy issues out there. You know, when you talk about Afghanistan, they both want to see troops taken out of Afghanistan by the end of 2014. They both said it.
Yes, right. I think we're starting to lose you there, Jeff. But getting in a dead cell zone, I'm sure, because of all this talking that we're doing, and there you are at the debate. Jeff Holtzman, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight. And again, this is the third time Jeff has been able to join us. We're talking about some of those real zingers that went down during the debate, including, you know, the battleship remark. And the one thing that Jeff and I both pulled out were Mitt Romney told Obama, attacking me is not an agenda. Attacking me is not talking about how we're going to deal with the challenges that exist in the Middle East unless we take advantage of the opportunity there and stem the tide of this violence. He kept going back to that a couple of different times about attacking him. And smartly, from Romney's point of view, or from his handler certainly, is to pull it back down to the economy. You know that I've been talking about the fact that this was going to be about foreign policy, and I knew it would veer off into another direction, and that's exactly what happened. Also saying, as we have all along here on America Tonight, that it looked like heading in, you know, a year ago, that this wasn't going to be anywhere near a close election, and look what it's turned out to be. I think the Democrats are pretty surprised by the turn of events. So will they be able to hold off the Romney offensive, if you will, as the battleground states have never, ever been so key? All right, we're going to talk more about the debates, of course, here on America Tonight. You can throw in your 2 cents at 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283.
Amino acids are the building blocks of proteins. Amino acids have to be delivered to your body in the shape that nature gave them if they are to be used to create new proteins in your body. Just like a bricklayer cannot use bent or twisted bricks to build a brick wall, so too your body cannot use bent or twisted amino acids to build new proteins. Giving your body an undamaged amino acid food can make a huge difference in your health. One World Way is an undamaged amino acid food unlike any other. You see, heating bends and twists amino acids, and all whey protein powders we've investigated, and most proteins you consume, are heated. With our TruCool process, you now have a choice with One World Whey.
My name is Daniel. I'm 34 years old. When I started using One World Whey, I weighed 228 pounds. Now, after 2.5 months, I weigh 182 pounds. This is my ideal weight. I've noticed an increase in stamina, rate of recovery from workouts, and an increase in my potency.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Prices are for base buildings only and may not be available in some areas. This is an alert. If your business or church is building next year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. Call General Steel now for the quality and the price in a pre-engineered steel building that you just can't beat. That's right. General Steel can save you thousands of dollars with a pre-engineered steel building designed for your business or church. What does this mean? How about a 50 by 100 foot building for under $30,000? Don't pay thousands more than you should without calling General Steel first. Call 866-99-STEEL today and save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. Don't let rising steel prices put your project in jeopardy. Call now to lock in your price for 3 months. Call 866-99-STEEL. That's 866-997-8335. Don't spend thousands of dollars more than you should. Call 866-99-STEEL today.
Utopia Silver understands that mainstream medicine and the rising cost of health care can financially destroy any family. We simply cannot afford to get sick. The only option is to stay healthy. Americans are learning that ill health is not caused by a deficiency of drugs. It's usually the result of a deficiency of minerals, vitamins, proper nutrition, and exercise. UtopiaSilver.com offers colloidal silver and healing protocols for vaccine and radiation poisoning, arthritis, insomnia, and more. If you're sick of unconstitutional government mandates, then stand up now and say no. The time is growing short to put this evil genie back in its bottle. Join Utopia Silver in promoting good health and fighting for our God-given health care rights. Visit UtopiaSilver.com, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.
One of the zingers that Obama threw out, and he really threw more zingers than Romney did. Romney tried not to take the bait, I think. In this one, I'm going to call it a draw. What the deal was for Romney is he needed to, I think, appear presidential, like he can handle relationships with other countries. He did that. Obama needed not to slip on the banana peel. He didn't really do that. So it was a draw. After three, I'm going to say it was a draw. But the key thing is, no matter who you think won this final debate, if you even want to put it on that, there is no doubt in my mind this sucker is, this is neck to neck, baby. I mean, it is down to the wire. The biggest fear I think that the Democrats had heading into this election season, having the Trump card. They had the Trump card. When you're the incumbent, that's what you're holding. I don't think they expected to be in this position. So one of the zingers was this one over that I just mentioned to Jeff Holtzman about the battleship. Check it out.
We have these things called aircraft carriers, where planes land on them. We have these ships that go underwater, nuclear submarines. And so the question is not a game of battleship.
And he's referring to, they're talking about the military, where Mitt Romney was saying how we needed to not slash to ridiculous amounts the military. And for goodness sake, if anything, we're going to end up with 200 ships, if that, by the time it's all said and done with the Navy. They're at the lowest level since 1917, which is true. And that's a known fact that we aren't. We don't have a beefed up Navy, and they haven't added to the ships and all that. And what Obama's point was, that's not the kind of warfare that we wage right now. So what did you think? 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. Pat in Texas, you get the first crack at this. Pat, what did you think?
Well, just in keeping with your last bit, he also said that we don't use horses and bayonets anymore.
Yes.
Well, they do. The horses, though, sadly, take our deceased in a place called Arlington Cemetery.
Yeah, you're right.
Probably never visited. And I've got two Marines that will stand up and tell him, oh, yeah, we still use bayonets.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Actually, you're correct. Actually, you are correct in that. That is true. You can't say that we don't do that. You're right.
You're right. And if anybody wants to know, I'll vote for a Mormon 10 times before I'd vote for a Muslim.
All right. So, Pat, you say that there's no question that to you it's Romney. And see, you fall into that category like I've been saying, Pat, all along.
I wouldn't vote for a Muslim for dog catcher.
Pat, thanks for the call. Cena, you don't have to name call Pat. It's fine that you want to vote for Obama. You want to vote for Romney. I mean, here's the thing. She proves the point, though, of what I was saying all along. I think people know who they're going to vote for. The undecided amount has to be really small. I don't think it's, you know, undecided. It's not like we're going on, they do that one-minute dating. You can only pick three people out of the 25 that you talk to. I don't think it's like that. I think most people really deep down know who they're going to vote for. She did have a point about the bayonets, although they are very scarce these days. You can't say they're 100% not used anymore. Let's go to Pete in Texas. Hey, Pete.
Katie, bye.
Hey.
Hey. I didn't get much out of that debate tonight. It was all about Obama. That's all he wanted to talk about. Me, I. And Romney, he wants to work. He wants to be by. He says, we can work together. Didn't hear that from Obama at all.
True. I think one of the best things I wrote down on the notes that I took is that Romney made it clear that he worked with Democrats when he balanced the budget, when he was the governor of Massachusetts, and he was willing to work together again. That's what it would take. That's what would have to happen. He mentioned that many, many times. I think that was a key point that certainly fell in his favor correctly.
Yeah, and I think these undecided votes, I think these people that are undecided is because they're working their third job, you know, because they're trying to make ends meet and keep their houses and keep their cars full of fuel.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, and it's not about him. It's about us. It's about the security of the United States. And we are weak, and the world knows it. And we're going to have to pick up the pace economically.
Yeah. Then that's where it is. And that's true. We are weak economically, and that hurts us in other categories. And it's definitely known to the rest of the world. Absolutely. Because look at how the dollar has sagged.
You know, we've got to the private sector has got to make more jobs, and the only way we're going to do that is get rid of all these regulations and rules, loosen up the regs. It's just like the rules of engagement out on the battlefield. If you can't shoot the enemy after being fired upon, you know, why in the heck are you out there?
Yeah. Yeah.
So lighten up. Let's go.
Yeah. Great analogy, Pete. I agree. We say that all the time when we have Jeff Atticott on. We've talked about it. What's the biggest problem that we face in Afghanistan is the cockamamie rules of engagement where our soldiers are hogtied almost and can't respond when they need to be able to respond. So his analogy about where we are in the world today is right there. It's, you know, we have one direction to go in. Well, actually, we have two directions to go in. We don't want to slip any further down the ladder. We need to keep climbing up the ladder because we are still the greatest nation, we hope, on the face of the earth. That's why people lean on the United States. That's why people pick on the United States, because you pick on, you know, you're going after the monolith. You're going after the giant, but it's the gentle giant that is so helpful to so many other people. But we're not going to be helpful to so many other people when we can't get our act together, when we are sagging by the burden of debt. And the deficit is this. It's just like any of us. It's like we're betting. We're taking house money and we're betting. You look around at your friends and you say, wow, you know, 2 years ago he wasn't driving that car. He didn't live in that house. He's making it. I can make that. That's going to happen to me. But you're not doing anything to get to that position. You're just fantasizing that you're going to get there. We're fantasizing if we think we're going to get rid of this crippling deficit if we don't start to do something about it. So we keep raising the debt ceiling, we keep borrowing, we keep using the credit card, and the people who benefit from that are the Chinese, because we're not even paying down our debt. They have our debt. We're not paying it down. We're just paying on the interest. So we're paying way more than we should be paying in the first place. But this is all facts that we certainly know at this stage of the game. So the thing you have to ask yourself is, where are we headed in the next 4 years? Think of where you'll be in 4 years, or where you want to be. 2016, boy, that sounds like a big number, doesn't it? Calculate your age, calculate where you are and where you want to be. It's like that question I hated when I would first go on job interviews. Did you ever get these questions? You go on a job interview. Okay, here's your qualification. Oh, terrific, terrific. Oh, yeah, letters of recommendation. Oh, terrific, wonderful, great, yeah. And then the question comes, the curveball. Where do you see yourself in 10 years? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Where do we see ourselves in 4 years? Where will you economically be in 4 years? Mouths to feed or mouths to feed? How are you going to do that? You know, Pete makes the point that I make all the time. It's like the unemployment number. The problem with the unemployment number is the underemployed is not factored in there. And then the people who just flat out have given up. I have a friend in that category who, super hard worker, educated, whatever, but nothing. I mean, there was just no jobs. And after thousands of tries and getting close and everything else, finally, got to throw in the towel. Got to figure out some other way around this, because I can't do this. I can't dance around like this for 2 years. So I personally know somebody that's in that category of being stuck. And then stringing these jobs together, for most people, the pure exhaustion, what is the sacrifice? That's just no way to live. To not have breathing room, to not be able to have dinner with your family or your friends or whatever, because you're always working, you're always on the clock, and when you get the rare time that you're not, you're so exhausted you just want to sleep. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work. And I think that really is what ails the country. It absolutely does. It's certainly in the middle class and even poorer, beneath that even. But we'll just say the middle class. We'll stick with the middle class, because that seems to be the big buzzword for this campaign season. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. Of course, we're talking about the debates. Who won? Does it really matter? Clearly, who finishes once we get through this race, is it going to be a photo finish? Will we see Romney winning by a neck, or will we see Obama winning by a nose? What say you, America?
In a coming apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics, life's getting better.
If you're considering a water filter, have you heard about AquaPail? AquaPail from FreezeDryGuy.com has huge advantages over many other water filters. American-made, AquaPail units are designed and engineered to not just filter contaminated water, but capture or kill all bacteria and viruses to non-detectable levels. AquaPail has the fastest flow rate of any other water filter on the market, filtering a gallon of contaminated water in about 5 minutes. That's water when you need it, now. Get the world's fastest, safest, and most reliable gravity-fed portable water treatment system for surface, well, and wastewater sources. AquaPail. Available in 4 sizes starting at only $100. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran-owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
Are now calling to ask for their foreign policy thing because, you know, the Cold War has been over for 20 years.
Zing! And that's what Obama thought he was doing, being pretty clever. However, a lot of those zingers fell on the floor. It's a draw, though. It's a draw. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. I watched this end to end. Just try to chill, watch it, and listen to what was being said. Took a few notes. I think that Romney looked pretty calm, confident, came back with a lot of the economy, going back to why foreign policy falls into our laps and affects us economically. That was a smart thing to do because that's on everybody's mind. So we got major points with that. Working with Democrats, throwing that in, what he did, the balanced budget, blah, blah, blah. He'd do it out of the gate. I think he would get high marks for that. And on the foreign policy, even agreeing with some of the stuff that is being done, I agree with that. I agree with that. So he didn't try to take out Obama's knees on areas where clearly there was some agreement. Instead of, and it is odd to do that in a debate, because usually if you work with a debate coach, they would tell you to avoid that. But I think there was some strategy, now that I think about that, on the agreement issue. Yes, I can work with other people. Yep, I'm going to agree on a few things here and there, a few things. On the whole military stuff, Romney challenged, you know, the Obama administration that the United States Navy is smaller, that it's the smallest it's been since 1917. And, of course, the Navy is smaller. And the Navy commanders say that the individual warship at sea at this point is much more capable than in the past that they could when they, you know, if we wound the clock back. But that was kind of, it was sort of one of those moot point things. Part of the whole 80s jab and talking about, you know, where we were then, the Cold War versus what's happening now. Your thoughts, America, and when it comes down to it, who wins this thing? Because, you know, we've got really moments, it seems. Left early voting is fast and furious. I know in my neck of the woods it has been. We've got well over 2 million people that have done the early voting. They think the number could be up to 40% of the eligible voters voting early. Maybe you're one of those people. So here's the thing. When all the votes are in and the electoral votes are there, will the 270, because I think that's what's needed, will the 270 go to Romney or Obama? This is a tight race. Very, very tight race. And I'm not so sure. I can answer that question, actually. I'm very sure that the Democrats didn't think that they were going to be playing with a deficit. In other words, I think they really thought they had an advantage, waiting for the river card to be turned over in their favor, to use a poker analogy. But now it's up in the air. The anticipation is high. You can feel it. I always say that this show is about the buzz in the backyard. The buzz isn't over the World Series and the Giants in the Game 7, no disrespect, pounding St. Louis. It's exciting for Giant fans, but it was a blowout, 9-0. And we'll see what happens in the World Series. So the buzz wasn't so much over that. The buzz was over the fact that people are anxious. I think people are anxious to vote. I think people are anxious for perhaps change. And we're also talking about the legislative side of things, with the Senate especially in some pretty hotly contested races. We may see some real flips here. Tomas in Michigan was probably watching, I'm sure. Hey, Tomas.
How you doing, Kate? Yeah, you covered some good hot spots in the debate, you know, when they were talking about the military. Obama didn't sound too up to snuff on military affairs when he says, you know, it's not like we have lots of horses and bayonets anymore. Yeah, like somehow he was comparing horses with ships. I don't know. He sounded really doofy there, you know. And then he says, nowadays we have ships that go underwater. Like, no, those are called ships that have been sunk, homie.
All right, probably, I get your point.
It's submarine, baby. Say submarine, you know. But I think another really strong point in the debate for Romney was when Obama had just finished defending his apology tour, because Romney called him. And then he says, well, let's see here. You went to Egypt. You went to Saudi Arabia. You went to Jordan. You went to Iraq. You went
no
to
Israel.
Again. Not Israel. Right yeah. there. That was a boom. You know?
Yeah.
That was strong. But,
yeah.
You know, Kate, you've made a living with sports. You know, you were a sportscaster, you know,
mm-hmm.
and people, you know, with the odds and everything like this. And if you had to give points, let's say it was like a three-round fight,
mm-hmm.
and you were scoring each debate as a round, what would you score the first debate, the second debate, and the third debate? And
If I had to score it where it's, because the last two were much different than the first one. The first one was a knockout for Romney, no question about it. And Obama admits it. And he was admitting it afterwards. The Democrats were admitting it. They couldn't believe what happened. He got slammed. I mean, with the right hook, a left hook, and everything in between, he hit the mat. And he knows it. The second one, I would say, was perhaps more of a draw. The third one, I would say, Romney did what he needed to do. because of the questions constantly in the media about what's the foreign policy, blah, 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 trying to use that as his Achilles heel. And in the polls, Romney comes out that way, weaker strong in the economy, strong with business, stronger than Obama, but comes out weaker in the likability category and with foreign policy. So he showed that he was stronger in that area, and by being calm and talking about working, cooperating, and that kind of stuff, I think that was helpful to him. And then pointing out, hey, don't waste time attacking me. Let's just work on this thing. I think that was smart. He danced around him like a Muhammad Ali move, you know, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Kind of like that. That's the maneuvering, I think. Yeah, I would score it, though, as dead even. I mean, this race is dead even, and I think that's what the debate, if you wanted to look at it that way, I think that's what it shows. Sally in Washington, you have the last word this hour. Hey, Sally.
Hi, Kate.
Hello.
I just want to say I thought Romney did very good on China and pointing out how they manipulate their currency and they don't follow the rules and how... You know, and what he said there was very strong. I won't comment on the Bayettes because it's already been, but horses, my son was, as you know, I've called before, he was killed in Afghanistan in 2009.
Yes.
He sent me a picture of him on a skinny swayback horse. And the reason they had horses is because all the roads are landmined. And, of course, it was an IED that took him out in a Humvee with two Marines. And so anyway, not Marines, but Green Berets, and then gutting the military. You know, they did this after World War One because World War One was to be a war that ended all wars. And then in 1931, Japan reared its ugly head, went into Manchuria, Mongolia, took over China, the Pacific Ocean, and in 1941, after 10 years of all this horrible stuff, they bombed Pearl Harbor. And then Hitler, and we weren't prepared. Do you remember how the women went into the factories? So,
yeah.
No, I don't like gutting the military, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't like... So we do have to be strong. I'm just saying that one of my favorite things, since we don't got a lot of time, is Romney said America is too great for small dreams. Thank you.
Well, so well said. And Sally, once again, thanks. Sorry for the loss of your son. And what a true warrior he was. You've talked about that story before on the air. I'm glad you pointed that out about the horses, as certainly she would know, as she had gotten letters from him, and she pointed out there that they did use horses. They do use horses in Afghanistan because of the terrain and the situation, obviously, with the IEDs. So thanks for that. I think that we're still going to be talking about this debate heading into the rest of the week. And really, as we get down to the nitty-gritty, what are the key things that have to happen for Romney to take this thing? And playing on the defense, that's what the Democrats are doing. Can they win with the defense? Will it work for the Democrats? Can they somehow pull the rabbit out of the hat? That's the question.
Is reason to celebrate. Cash in on October deals during the 25th anniversary of Emergency Essentials. Going on now, save 26% off clarified butter, 24% off honey oat granola, and save 50% off a kitchen fire extinguisher. A must for any kitchen emergency. Stock your car with a Roadwise Emergency 72-hour kit, only $34.99 at beprepared.com.
New this month, two varieties of Mountain House just-in-case buckets. Your favorite Mountain House pouches packed in a convenient bucket. Find a super deal this month only for the Goal Zero Lighthouse LED Lantern and Nomad 7 Solar Panel. Iosad Potassium Iodide Tablets are on sale. And as always, check out the Emergency Essentials Group Specials now through October 31st. Call 800-999-1863 for exceptional customer service and Emergency Essentials low price guarantee. That's 800-999-1863. The choice is clear. The Unprepared or BePrepared.com.